Welcome to the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in cold Pennsylvania, United States. On the other side, we have Brawley in St. Louis. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I just got home from a trip to the Amsterdam Tavern where we just finished watching West Ham Southampton 0-0. And it is also cold here. It's very cold here. So I guess it could have been better, but it also could have been worse.
It's one of those results where I would have been happy. I think I said this in our group chat. I would have been happy with a 0-0 draw if we didn't play so poorly the other day against Brighton and only picked up 1 point there. I really would have liked to see at least 4 to 6 points from this group of results. And, you know, 2, I just don't think is good enough. I think both teams are beatable. I don't want to get out of my depth and say that this isn't West Ham because, you know, we've been in relegation battles at this point already in the season the last few years. However, I think with the way that we've been playing, I really am a little bit disappointed with 2-2. With 2 points after those two games.
The Brighton game, Brighton's always our bogey team. I mean, I don't I don't think we ever beat Brighton. It seems like it's always a tough game when we play them, and we always do something stupid against Brighton. It just seems like the Brighton brings out the worst in us every single time. And then Southampton, they've been in good form this year. So, I mean, if you look at it in a vacuum, you see a draw away at Southampton's not the worst result in the world. I think the bigger storyline for me anyway is the fact that David Moyes refuses to play Saïd Benrahma when we're crying out for a creative spark in the midfield. And that is the number one story to come out of both of these games, in my opinion. I am biased. I wanted Saïd Benrahma last season. I really wanted him, and I was over the moon when we got him this year. I bought a Saïd Benrahma shirt. I love the guy. I cannot and will not understand for the life of me why he refuses to play him week in, week out, especially when you change the team so much and you play 3 times in the space of 7 days. Like, why wouldn't you give him a run out today? A stardom, I should say. I just don't understand for the life of me. And the decision, I'm getting way ahead of myself because we're going to talk about this later anyway, I'm sure. But when everyone was over the moon with the way we started, and I was over the moon with the way we started, everyone clamoring is like, oh, give Moyes a 4-year, 3-year contract. And you were both sitting here saying, pump the brakes. It's been a good start. We are in a European push. The people, West Ham fans seem more fickle than most fans. And this is my number one, always has been my number one gripe with David Moyes, is he refuses, I shouldn't say he refuses, he constantly makes questionable team selections, and his in-game management is poor at best. I mean, his ability to change a game with substitutions, although lately Spurs, he has done it, and you could argue the Brighton game he did it, but the Brighton game was a result of the wrong team selection from minute one. I mean, how on earth, I'm rambling, I know, I'm going to finish up shortly, but how on earth you can play Mark Noble in a number 10 over a guy you just paid £30 million for, who is creative, who is the most electric player that West Ham United have, how you can play Mark Noble over that guy blows my mind. So I am firmly in the camp that believes David Moyes is not the man to take us forward. And I know we've had a good start. This is much better than we had under Pellegrini. We're not in a relegation battle, but still, I am every week right now, every game, I'm scratching my head as to what is David Moyes thinking here, because quite frankly, I just don't get it.
The issue I have with David Moyes is I think that he is the manager to stabilize. And I saw something interesting today that if he can just continue to get solid results and finish mid-table maybe for the next year or two to stabilize what we've got going on rather than consistent relegation battles, then maybe he is the guy for the job for now. Do I see him taking us forward? No. Do I see him having the ability to stabilize? Sure. When it comes to the team selection, I think he's gotten it right a lot this season. I think he has. I think one of my issues with David Moyes, though, is when he is given one or two injuries, and maybe this is more of a gripe with the board, the depth in a lot of these positions is not there. Does that really answer your Benrahma problem? No. My solution or comment does not address that specifically. However, his inability to switch it up, or everything he's got going on, or sometimes he switches it up too much, I think that's because a lot of because of the personnel that he has is sometimes lacking in other positions. For example, when we see him go back to the four in the back the last few games, it's because we don't have a third left back option to continue playing Cresswell at center back. I will say I thought Craig Dawson played very well today. That was exciting to see.
Yeah, I agree. The Dawson decision was shocking to me, quite frankly. The fact that he hasn't played a single minute and he gets a start. And is I guess I shouldn't say – I don't know. I was shocked that he gets in over Diop. That's what irked me the most, I guess, because we paid all this money for Issa Diop and you play Craig Dawson over him. Maybe Diop has a little injury or something. I don't know. But Dawson played well today, so you got to say that was a decent decision, although he got burned once or twice early in the game and almost gave away a penalty, but we kept a clean sheet, so that would be harsh on me to criticize him.
I was excited to see Lanzini today.
I think
put that out there.
A lot of people, I was okay with that. You know, we brought Yarmolenko and Lanzini on, and that's what changed the game against Brighton, so okay, that worked better, so we're going to keep that system. And then you play Ryan Fredericks, which was questionable. That seemed to work out okay, although he got caught sleeping two or three times, I thought. I thought Southampton could have taken it to us, and I thought Southampton were poor today.
I'm okay with Fredericks, and let me tell you why. Sofal probably needed a rest, and I like the pace that Fredericks has to deal with Walcott and a few of their pacey forwards. Almost like when we saw, not exactly the same, Johnson's faster than Zabaleta. But do you remember last year when we did a podcast and they put Zabaleta up against, was it St. Maxim from Newcastle?
St. Maxim, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm okay with Fredericks. I didn't mind this lineup. I actually kind of liked it. The only difference I would do is figure out a way to, I don't know if it would positionally work, to get Benrahma on for Yarmolenko. That would have been my change. Because I said the other day, I think on the podcast, that I love the intertwine, the way that Benrahma and Lanzini play together. And we didn't get to see them come on at this at all together today. I was disappointed for that.
Yeah, and then David Moyes refuses to play a partner up top with Allaire. Would have loved to see an Allaire stay on and then play with alongside Antonio. Just I want to try to get the best out of Allaire, and it just seems like we do not fit that mold. David Moyes refuses to play two up front, and I would have liked to seen us 0-0. Let's go for a win instead of sit off for a draw. But I mean,
I thought against Brighton.
I get it. We're still in relegation mode as far as David Moyes is concerned. I think his task is to keep West Ham United in the Premier League, and a point away from home against a decent team is a good point. But as a fan, I want to see us go for a win rather than sit off for a draw. Although Benrahma did have a chance to win the game late on, and it was just I didn't see a replay. Again, I was at the pub, so from an analyzing perspective, I feel like when I go to the bar to watch when there's other people and I'm talking, I definitely miss a lot of the game. Not as far as watching it, but like absorbing what happened in the game. So I didn't see a replay of it. The save on Benrahma late in the game, was that off the goalkeeper's face or shoulder? Did he get a hand to it?
It was off of his shoulder. I thought it was a very good save to close
it
down,
was.
To close down the space. I thought it was a good save. I would have liked to see him bury it, but, you know, it is what it is.
I think I don't know what more Benrahma could have done there. I mean, I think the goalkeeper just makes a great save.
I think
although,
it makes a good save.
If it was Fornals, everyone would be losing their mind about it, I'm sure.
I would have liked to see us against Brighton go for it and rather than setting up defensively. I guess that's just how I am, though.
Well,
the
Brighton
a fan
game is a totally different. Sorry for jumping in there. I think the Brighton's totally different. Just the way we set out was wrong from minute one. I mean, that was one of the most shocking team decisions I'd ever seen in my life.
I mean, just as a philosophy in general, though. As in, I would rather see us going from the start against Brighton. Or taking it to him against Southampton, you know, maybe not against the top six sides, but against a team that I feel that is beatable. I would like to see us go from the jump. If we lose, we lose. So be it. We played, we attacked, we went for it. If that's the way that we're going to lose, then so be it. When we went down 1-0 against Brighton, I was furious. Not because we went down 1-0, but because we went down setting up defensively. It was almost the same thing against Chelsea.
Yeah, you ruined your game plan straight away. You ruined your game plan. Right.
When we got walloped against Chelsea, playing defensive. It's like, well, if we're going to get walloped, we might as well go for it. You know what I'm saying? I have an issue with setting up defensively. And then when you don't win or you don't get the result you want, because I would hope, I'd at least like to hope, that a draw against Brighton was not David Moyes' goal.
Oh, I'm...
Do you think so?
I think if you would have offered him a point at the start of the game, I think he would have taken it. I think his lineup...
That's unacceptable.
Right, and I think his lineup...
That's why it's unacceptable.
I think his lineup would suggest he was playing for at least not to lose. Why would you play Mark Noble against Brighton? I mean, that doesn't make any logical sense. When you have even Lanzini, I would have been more okay with him, Lanzini playing over him, or Yarmolenko. Noble would have been the last guy I would have started. And I always say I would never say a bad word about Mark Noble. And I don't mean to come off as... Because the guy's just getting old. I mean, that's not his fault. I don't want to make it sound like I'm ripping on Mark Noble, but I think he would even tell you he isn't in a position to be starting every game. And and even in his interview after the game, he said, "I only learned this morning I was starting," and he made it seem like he was very surprised that he was starting in his post-match interview, which makes sense. I even think he'll tell you he is surprised when he gets in the starting 11, especially in a game like that, playing it as an attacking midfielder. He was playing as a number 10. I mean,
I'm okay with him starting if it was for Rice or Souček. I'm okay with Mark Noble playing, especially against Brighton. Like, for me, Mark Noble's the Brighton game would have been the perfect game to start Mark Noble, just not as
in a holding midfielder position.
As a holding midfielder, and not a holding midfield three as a replacement to give Rice or Souček a break.
Yes.
Mark Noble should not be keeping
Side Benrahma out of the team.
No. Especially not against Brighton. And I think that's where my frustration came in on, because we're talking about two games today. We're talking about the Brighton game, which was 3 days ago.
And the Chelsea game we even have been talking about, too. Yeah.
Right. I just, in general, though, the Chelsea loss, it is what it is. I thought that they were beatable. I stand corrected. We got whacked 3-0, right? Was it 3 or 4?
It was 3. We did. I don't think... Although we didn't register a single shot on target, I didn't think we lost that game by 3 goals. I know we did, factually we did, but the way we performed, we should not have lost that game by 3 goals. I think it was a 1-goal game at best, and they hit us twice in the space of 2 minutes late in the game. I think 1-0 would have been a fair scoreline. Even if we would have drawn, I think that would have been a fair scoreline. But yeah, it looked like we got totally outplayed, which I didn't think was the case at all. Football.
I guess the last point I want to finish on this little bit about lineups and selection is, I'm okay with lining up defensive against Chelsea.
Yes,
I don't
agreed.
Want to. I'd rather go at it and lose if you're going to lose. But against Chelsea, so be it. I mean, the talent in that side is amazing. Against Brighton at home, no. I don't care if they're the bogey team. I don't care if they it's just ridiculous, and that was upsetting. Today's lineup I liked, disappointed that we didn't win. I thought we played fine. I wouldn't say exceptional, I wouldn't say poorly. I thought it was just fine. I thought 0-0 was fair. But I'm more upset about that Brighton game. Today I'm fine. Brighton, I'm just very disappointed. It just irks me.
I thought today's game, if we're moving on to just talking about today's game, I thought the game from if you were a neutral was incredibly boring. I thought it was a very dull affair. I think Southampton on the run of play was probably the better team, but I don't think anyone can argue with a draw. But like I said, I'm just really, really disappointed with the fact that we played twice in 3 days, and your 30 million pound starlet attacking midfield player does not make it into the team. And I think that says there's a lot going on. There is something fishy going on with the Benrahma situation. Whether it's the fact that David Moyes didn't want him, David Sullivan does want him, and he's trying to prove a point to Sullivan that, hey, I didn't want this guy, so I'm not going to play him. But whether whatever the case is, Sidebin Rama should be playing, and he isn't. And that, again, I know I'm just rambling on about Benrahma, but I am so annoyed with the fact that he can't get a game. Even in the space of 3 days, he can't get a start. Something weird is going on, and I don't like it.
Okay, so I guess a few issues I have with the Benrahma. One more thing on Benrahma, I guess, or Moyes versus the board in general, is we spend so much money on assets and then either don't use them or we don't use them correctly. Yeah. For example, you spend all that money, or it's a loan and then you'll spend money, as our buddy Andy pointed out. Okay, same point in general, to have him sitting on the bench for Saeed Benrahma, right? Allaire played with another striker his all that time at Frankfurt when we paid so much money for him, okay? He's been struggling by himself. As we've known, he doesn't run around a lot. That pisses people off. He looks like he's wank. I think he's a very good player. I think that it's just we don't play to his style, okay? So there you paid what? Was it 35, 40, 25? What do you know off the top of your head?
Between 40 and 45, I believe.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, the pounds and dollars thing always mixes me up. Was it 40 pounds, $40 million, whatever. So you spent all that money for him. Diop, okay? I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he has an injury, but he has not made the lineup lately because he obviously must be out of form or whatever. That's another 20 that you spent for him. You know what I mean? Bowen, we paid a good amount of money for, but he was on the bench probably just resting.
Yeah.
But my point
is, which I'm fine with that.
I'm totally cool with that. No, I'm just adding people that we spent a solid amount of money for. I just don't understand why we spend all this money on players and then they don't turn out, we don't play them properly, or we just don't play them at all. And that just goes to the recruiting. That just goes to the recruiting of the club. You know, we're talking about, how can I even forget Anderson that we just shipped away, spent all that money on?
Yeah.
That we just shipped away on loan. You know what I mean? And are going to get pretty much nothing in return.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that all of our record signings over the past few years, I don't know that really any of them have panned out like we hoped them. So right now, I believe Allaire is our record signing at $45 million. I think second behind that is Felipe Anderson. And then I believe Benrahma will be right behind that at number three. And like if you go back, like Matt Jarvis was a record signing back then. It just seems like our record signings never pay out. I believe Andy Carroll then was our record signing. He's probably the best one out of the bunch. I mean, I think the moral of the story is if we're going to spend big, we really should do more research. It just doesn't seem like we do a lot of research. And Anderson was spectacular for that half a season. I mean, that remember when his two-goal game against Southampton 2 seasons ago? I mean, that was Felipe Anderson at his peak, which he was so fun to watch. I mean, Felipe Anderson, that stretch of games was terrific. But for whatever reason, when we spend big on guys, it just doesn't seem to pay off. And I think we should look into why that is. And I think something should be done about that. I don't know who is to blame for that. I would guess Sullivan, who doesn't really like to employ scouts. But I just don't understand really why that is.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you here because I have it up on according to Transfer Market. I'm not sure how reliable they are, but, you know, it's a close enough database that so be it. Allaire, £45 million that we don't properly play in the correct position or with somebody, I would say, in our formation. Anderson, in 18-19, we just put him on loan. Fornals on $25 million. I actually think that he's turning out to be a pretty good player, and he's young. I like Pablo Fornals.
Agreed.
I'm a big fan.
Me
a
too.
Lot of people, not a fan. I think they're wrong, but so be it. Diop rides the bench. Andre Ayew, we flipped fairly quickly. Benrahma rides the bench. Marko Arnautovic, we had issues with personality. Jared Bowen, I think he's turned out actually to be worth the signing and was young. Yarmolenko, we paid a hefty bit for.
Yeah, we
Chicharito.
Did.
Chicharito. Yarmolenko's been in and out of injuries. I mean, again, not his, like, really his fault, but still. Chicharito we shipped away. Andy Carroll injured all the time. So I'm not going to keep going and wasting time too much on this. But my point is, if I listed our top, 10 that I just go through, maybe two or three worked out well. That's not good. That's poor. I don't care. I don't know if that's Pellegrini. I don't know if that was Moyes. I don't know if that is the board. But whoever's either A, scouting, or B, how they pick the players to pair with the manager, it's bad. And it's just wasted money. If you look at some of these other teams, they're getting a lot better results and spending a lot less money. I think I said this a while ago, I don't even care if Sullivan wanted to be cheap. If he was smart with signings, he could be cheap and turn a profit. Instead, Sullivan, Gold, and Brady, they're just all idiots. I know I'm rambling as well. We keep going on our own little mini rants, but I don't even know where to go. If you look at Leicester, who just put in a brilliant, brilliant new training facility, they have really smart scouting system, have made transfers, turned profits. I mean, that's how you run a club. Look at Southampton. Yeah. Again, you know, turning profits on good finding players. That's how they fund their transfers, not by having the owners pull money out of their pockets. If Sullivan and Gold, all they had to do was get a better scouting system, pay for a scouting system, and then one or two transfer flips players would start paying for that. And then you start developing more players and you sell them, and then you're putting money in your pocket. Instead, they just want to spend money on one or two big players, appease the fans. Like, they thought probably getting Ben Rama, oh my goodness, the fans will get off our backs, played yourself. But it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, like, currently we sit in 10th, which if you would have said to me on New Year's Day you're going to be sitting in 10th place, I would have been over the moon about that. So, I mean,
y'all called me crazy.
I did. I didn't believe it. I thought, and there's still time. I mean, our form
still
right,
plenty of time to suck.
our form right now is lower to mid table. Draw, loss, draw, draw. I mean, so we've gotten 3 points in our last four games. That's lower to. I mean, that's where I thought we would be, lower to mid table. So we are falling back to earth right now.
The issue with the table looking, I should say, is we are, quote, quote, 3 points off of fifth, right? Now, some teams have some games in
hand. I think we're six.
No, we have 23 points, and Villa have 26 points.
Oh, yeah.
And they're fifth.
Terrible.
However,
math.
Again, they have games in hand, but so does City, so does Spurs, so let's not get ahead of ourselves there. But as it stands, when we record this pod, we are 3 points from fifth, but we are also 4 points off of 14th. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So plus 3 points takes us fifth, minus 4 points takes us 14th. Come 2 weeks, we could say, wow, we're doing great again. And come 2 weeks, we could say, wow, we're 15th relegation battle. The middle pack is that close that the conversation changes every week on how you look at it. Just from 3 point difference.
Yeah, no, it's a weird, funky season. It seems like the relegation contenders are playing as relegation contenders, and there's not going to be much of a relegation battle. West Brom looked hopeless today. Fulham look okay. I mean, Brighton and Burnley are playing better, but it seems like that 16 through 5 is wide open, and anything could happen. You're right. I mean, we could sit here in 2 weeks and be in 15th place. Or we can be up in fifth. I mean, you're spot on with that. I mean, anything can happen this year. But all I'm saying is the way that we've played the last four or five games, we are definitely trending down and not up, which I don't like. And I think we need something creative. I think our goal scoring, although the Brighton game, we scored two. But other than that, we're not scoring goals right now. Sebastian Allaire is not putting them in. Antonio is fit. We got to see him for a little bit, which is great. But I just would have loved to see him come on with Allaire instead of for Allaire. In Moyes' defense, though, I would say Allaire probably deserves a rest because he played 90 minutes the other night. Maybe he needed a little rest, but it's asking a lot to play so many games in the short amount of time.
Yeah, My outlook right now for the next three games is you have to get 6 points. The next three games, you have to get 6 points. So the next three games, we have Everton, and then a combination, I don't know in which order off the top of my head, Burnley and West Brom.
And Stockport in between.
I'm not worried about that right now. I mean, I would like an FA Cup run. I'm not concerned with Stockport, to be honest with you. I think that we should be able to give them a run, but who knows? Because we've also lost to Wimbledon before, so what do I know?
Yeah, so we play Everton New Year's Day, then we play Stockport. We have a 10-day break between that and Stockport on January the 11th. Then on the 16th of January, we play Burnley, and then on the 19th of January, we play West Brom. And then after that, we play Crystal Palace. So, I mean, we've got a run of games that we need to pick up some points from. And it's, I will say, the FA Cup, this is our time to go for it, really. We're not in a relegation battle. How many points are we off of the relegation zone? So, let's see. Fulham right now are on 11 points, and we're on 23. So, that's 12 points. We are 12 points above the relegation zone. So, as far as I'm concerned, we are not in a relegation battle. So this is your year, David Moyes. If you want to win me over and you want to win the West Ham fans over, fucking go for the FA Cup. Put out a strong team every single game in the FA Cup. And that includes Stockport. Don't play the kids against Stockport. Let's play a legit starting 11, a similar 11 as to we played today, I'd be okay with. And let's go for this thing. Okay, I mean, it's time. Would it suck if this was the year West Ham fans couldn't go to see any of the FA Cup games and we went on a run? Yeah, that would really suck, especially if we lost a day out at Wembley. But if you want to make...
We still need to go for it.
Yeah, we haven't won a trophy. We haven't won a trophy since 1980. It's time. If you want to win me over and win, not specifically me, but win the majority of the fans over, the FA Cup is your route to do that. Or finish in a European spot, which I think is far more unlikely.
See, the way Moyes can win me over, frankly, is just keep doing what you're doing for another year. He'll never win me over as the guy to take us forward. Like I said earlier in the podcast, the only way that he can really win me is just making sure that he can stabilize. And then the person who really needs to win us over is the board. They're at the end of the day the ones who the buck falls on. The Moyes hire, the lack of investment, or lack of investment isn't even the right word. Stupid investment. That's more of the correct phrase. Spending all that money on Anderson to be a one-season wonder. Spending all that money on Allaire and not playing him in the right position. Spending all that money on Diop to be a one-season wonder. Right there, add those three guys up, is £100 million. So can we really say that the board doesn't spend much money, honestly? And they just spent that money on Benrahma. I don't even think we could say that the board doesn't spend money. I think that we need to say that they spend money ridiculously stupid. Yeah. And then they don't have money to spend when it's needed. I mean, we've been crying out for an outside back for how many years now? And they finally got Sofal, which that was a diamond in the rough. And I got to give them credit for that because they only paid $5 million for him, right?
Correct, yeah, $5 million.
But that other outside back situation, neither one of them I feel extremely comfortable playing by themselves. Cresswell and Masuaku together make one left back. So we've been asking for a left back who can go forward and defend, but we don't have that. So I really don't think we need a winger or another winger or this and that. You know, I think that we just need to spend money in the right places. But, you know, next thing you know, we're going to spend another $40 million on a striker, and the board can say, well, we spent money, guys. We got what you asked for.
Yeah, I don't think, and if you believe Sean Whetstone, it sounds like the board are not going to be spending any money in January because we are already over halfway to safety. And I think that is not... it's not a good strategy, in my opinion, to aspire for mediocrity.
Yeah, so just on the comment about not spending any money in January, you know, again, it's us blowing our load in certain areas, and then we go back to not having any money when we realize that we need to make a few enhancements. And to me, it just shows lack of ambition. It's three guys or two dudes and a girl in this board who play Football Manager with real people's lives and emotions and jobs. You know, we're not even talking about just, and I'm going to wrap this up because I know we're getting close on time, but we're not talking about just the players who have to play or the fans who have to work. We're talking about people's livelihoods, if the team is successful or not. So I'm just ready for these cats to go. It's just too wishy-washy every season. Like, when we're doing well, they don't want to spend any money. When we're not doing well, they don't want to spend any money. And it's just weird investment. It's just a mess. It's a circus. That's the real problem.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet saying that the Benrahma situation perfectly sums up West Ham in a nutshell, because it's a player that the manager didn't necessarily want, and David Sullivan buying from a Will Salthouse player, and David Moyes trying to seemingly send a message saying that he didn't want this guy, so he's not going to play him. And I think that basically sums up West Ham. I mean, we didn't scout this guy. It was a player that we bought, and that sums up West Ham, which is why a lot of people, even if we are doing better than expected, still want the board out. I know people outside of the West Ham circle will not understand that, because they see us 10th in the table and like, oh, you probably love Golden, Sullivan, and Brady now. It's like, no, we don't. We are fed up with the club being run like a laughing stock.
A circus. It's a circus. That's exactly what it is. Let's just call it what it is. It's every week someone's saying something absolutely ridiculous, or there's some sort of bad press.
Yeah, it's just a strange time as a West Ham fan. And you know, overall, we should be happy with if we're sitting at 10th on New Year's Day. I mean, that's an achievement in itself. I think we can look back at the first half of the season and really be proud of the way we played. But if we continue on this downward trend, we're going to be just 14th, 15th mediocrity, which is not what we want. So, I don't know. It is what it is. Anyway, we did get one person send us a question. We didn't put out – I forgot to put out a Q&A tweet this week. But we did get one person that wrote in to us to say – and this is Eric Hegerness, and at Eric Live Out Loud. He says, I feel like reverting back to our initial shape. Five at the back seems to be the way the team still wants to play. They sat back today and waited for counterattacking scenarios that just never materialized. He's curious if we agree. So, Tony, do you feel like we should revert to five at the back again? And if not, what do you think should be our formation going forward, even with the injury situation and whatnot? Where do you think is our best formation going forward?
I don't think right now we have the personnel to go five in the back. I really don't. I think our center backs are not quick enough. I think that's one of the perks you do get with Cresswell, playing that inside center back. I just, you know, at the end of the day, I think the four, and especially with this run of fixtures that we were talking about earlier, with this run of fixtures, I would like to see us go at it more and only play four in the back and add that extra attacking person. So I like the five in the back. I like how it played with Masuaku and Cresswell together. It gave Masuaku the ability to go forward, but right now I just don't think we have the personnel for it. So I'd like to go four in the back. I would like to somehow see, like you mentioned at some point, figure out a way to get Allaire and Antonio together. Why not? We've been saying that for 2 years now, ever since we got Allaire. Yeah. Like toward the end of the last season, I remember on some podcast we were saying, hey, what if these two guys played together at striker, not at Antonio at winger, at both at striker.
Yeah, so. I've always said that. I think with the players that we have, we could set up almost as a 4-4-2. Just have Rice and Souček holding together, and then out wide, kind of in a freer roles, you're gonna have either Benrahma should be one of them, and then you could either play Yarmolenko or Lanzini out wide to the right. And again, that's harsh on Fornals. Fornals will be have to get the guy to be dropped for it. But I think we could play 4-4-2 and just try it. I don't know what there is to lose. I think the fans would certainly appreciate it. Maybe it doesn't work with the other guys that we have and we're only catering to Allaire. I don't know. But one thing I didn't didn't really see coming at the beginning of this year is how badly we would miss Arthur Masuaku if he went down. I think Masuaku made that five at the back. I think he was the catalyst to making that so good, because he was dynamite going forward, and then defensively he was not terrible, which is all he really needed to be in a five when he's got that extra cover back at Cresswell's spot. So I certainly did not foresee Masuaku being a key person this season, and I think certainly our form would tell you, since he's been injured, he is a huge, huge miss for us. So hopefully he's going to get back sooner, because I think when Masuaku's back, yes, you go back to a back five, at least against the bigger teams, when they are going to come at you. And this has been my criticism from day one of well, really West Ham as a whole, not even just David Moyes, is we cannot break teams down when they sit off of us. I mean, for whatever reason, when teams aren't taking the game to us, we struggle. And it's still proven to be true. I mean, yes, we did get a result against Sheffield United and Fulham, but I think Leeds, wide open, they were attacking us, so it was perfect for us to play them. And then Villa, we did not deserve to win, and we did, and they were on us most of the game. So that's just been my number one criticism of West Ham as a whole, is we really cannot break teams down. And it's still the case. Today, Southampton had more of the ball. I mean, they probably had 60 to 70%, if I guess. Again, I'm not looking at my phone, but just thought I would say Masuaku, really miss him. Hopefully we get him back soon, and then we'll be all good to go. But I think that about wraps it up this week. Tony, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah, just to fact check you there, I do have it up here. It was 62% ball possession for Southampton, 38% for West Ham.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that's about what I figured. I just wish we had the prowess to, you know, take it to teams when needed. But, I mean, evidently we don't. Hopefully that changes, but I don't see under David Moyes us being that team.
Yeah, I don't either. But that's why I said I wouldn't mind team if we could sit here and be 10th for two seasons. Like, could you imagine, like, two or three years in a row, as much as, like, we would like to have Europe and we, quote-unquote, move to the London Stadium for the next level and all that shit, right? Wouldn't it be nice for just, like, one or two seasons not even have to think about relegation? I mean, I think that to me is almost an exciting goal, where I'm not even stressed about relegation. I'm not. Have we once, other than the first two games, where, I mean, even at the beginning of the season, I protected mid-table but got worried after two games, which, you know, it is what it is. But ever since after that Arsenal game, have you been worried of relegation?
No, not once, no.
And are you right now?
No, I think I said earlier, we're not in a relegation battle.
Right, so I think it's a win here where we're saying, where I'm saying, you know, it's nice to not even be scared halfway through the season, having to scramble and make signings that are unnecessary. So, you know, I'm not agreeing with the board. I'd like to see us invest and push on while we're already at 10th. But to them, they might be saying, all right, well, we're here. Let's stabilize rest of the year, save some money, and do it big in the summer. Now, do I really think they'll do it big in the summer? No. But I'm hoping that that's what their ambitions are.
Yeah,
egg on my face.
In January, I just, you know, I think we are crying out for another left back or right back. Really, I mean, so foul I'm happy with. So I would say the key positions that need addressing are obviously forward. We only had one striker this entire run without Antonio. I mean, only one. That's not good enough. We need another forward. It doesn't have to be a huge money signing, but it would be nice to have a guy like Ayeti right now when you have nine guys available on the bench. Unless one of the academy kids, which we know David Moyes probably isn't going to play, but I think a left back and a striker. Now that we're settled, we really are only a few really good players away, some solid investments away from being a scary team, I should say. I wouldn't say European contenders, although we are in a European contention this year. I just think we're a couple players away from being a really formidable side, even if it's just depth. I think just if we got a couple of depth players that maybe aren't going to start but could contribute off the bench, I would be happy with. But yeah, it's just a It's just weird times right now. I mean, with COVID and everything, that I maybe we really don't have money to spend. I don't know, but it's just a weird time right now.
Yeah, I agree. All right, but I think that about wraps it up. I appreciate everyone who listens to the podcast. I had fun as always. Look to do a pod maybe after. Let's see if I look at the fixtures again. The next one's January 1st. So after the Everton game, before the Stockport game, probably will be our next pod. So thank you all for listening. Do you want to take us out on the stuff I always mess up?
Yep, you can follow us on Twitter at WestHamwayUSPod. You can follow me on Twitter at BrawlyDarbin and Tony at TonyClarkDupe. One thing I did want to say is there. So we've been doing the shirt giveaway every game, and there was a winner this who correctly predicted a nil-nil. There was only one person, and it was a Russian person. And I have been in contact with UPS and the United States Postal Service, and it is a very large hassle to get a package over to Russia. I don't know if this person listens to the podcast. If I'm honest, I don't even know if this person is a West Ham fan, but they entered into the competition and they did win. But if I'm not able to send a package without costing me over $500 is what it sounded like it was going to be to get something to Russia, which I'm not going to spend that. I did say we would ship anywhere worldwide, but there's something going on the shipping lines between here and Russia that is not working very well. I don't know what it is, but that's what both service providers told me. So there may be another week for the shirt giveaway. So if there is, I'm going to keep everyone posted on that. And it's not fair to that Russian person because they did win. Again, I don't know what. I don't know how to pronounce that person's name or username or anything. I have no idea. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. And so if there is another week, then just keep your eyes peeled for that. But anyway, we're done here. I'm done rambling. Hopefully we'll come to you after an Everton win, and we'll talk to you then, guys. So see you next week.
Cards.